If you'd like to pick up the Bible in your pews and turn to page 185, we're reading from Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning at the first verse. Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning at verse 1, page 185. These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live, by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commands that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates.
Great, we'll keep that passage open. We'll be sort of hopping around to various passages, but that's the one I think to keep open. Others will appear on the screen. And let's pray. Father, thank you that you are not silent, but you speak into our lives, you teach us the truth, and you teach us your ways. And as we continue to think about family, this issue of parenting, Lord, how we need your help, your leading and your encouragement and strength too. We want to trust in the power of the Holy Spirit today as we look at your word, to implant your word in us, that it may bear fruit for our good, the good of our children, and for your glory. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. A number of you who are parents have been saying how you've been having fun at home over the last couple of weeks since we looked at God's word to children as you've faced various behavioural issues. Remember what we heard in church about obeying your parents and doing so cheerfully. I've had a few stories like that passed back to me. Well, if your children were here this morning, then they might say, well, it's payback time. Because today we're looking at God's word to parents. In other words, in carrying on our aim in this series, to look at the specific instructions that God gives to us in family, and particularly today to parents. I'm aware, of course, that not all of us are parents, but I do hope that we won't switch off, that we'll see the vital importance of this, not least because we are a church family. And that means that we'll be very keen to support our parents in what is a very challenging role. Parenting is very hard, isn't it? Parenting is very hard work. And that's why, actually, I want to give this talk a new title, which is this, Parenting in the Kingdom of Grace. That's my title, Parenting in the Kingdom of Grace. Why? Because nothing, I think, exposes our failings more than trying to bring up children well. I think that's generally true to family. You know, our family, they see what lies beneath the mask that we wear in public, don't they? But there's something about our children, it seems, that can often bring out the worst in us, because we all know the reality of Sunday mornings, don't we? If you haven't heard this yet, let me let you into a secret, that despite the fact that at 10 o'clock we all are kind of arrived full of smiles and as though our family life was always a picture of happy harmony, for most of us, you only have to look back, what, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, and the scene was often very different, wasn't it? You know, grumpiness, voices raised, impatience, tempers lost, we've all been there. Do I need to go on? If you only thought it was you and your family, there you go. It really is happening everywhere. Parenting is really hard. And therefore, it really exposes us. And therefore, if we're going to enter this subject and look at what God teaches us without becoming immensely discouraged, we have to remember where we stand. And that is, we stand in a kingdom of grace. So yes, we are members of God's kingdom. We have a king. There is someone in charge, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to live under his rule. He gives us commands and instructions for this and many other areas of life. So we're in a kingdom, we're to live a certain way, but it's a kingdom of grace. Just see what Paul says in Romans 5. He says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. Very important, wonderful words. If we turn to Jesus, we have peace with God. He does not hold our failings against us. We stand in grace. And that is great news, and essential news that I want to suggest we have to hold on to so that we don't beat ourselves up over our failings, past or present. But rather, what do? We take them to the cross, we rejoice in our forgiveness and our acceptance by God, and then we ask him for the help to start to put things right. So that's where we're having the discussion, okay? Within the kingdom of grace. And remembering that, I think, will also help us as we sort of frame our objectives as parents. What do we want for our children? Wind forward 10, 20, 30 years. What circumstances or situations can you imagine your children in that would make you feel satisfied as a parent? What would you want for them? Happily married, maybe? Kids of their own, a well-paid job, a job that they actually enjoy, a nice home, in a nice area. I'd be very surprised if some of those weren't our sort of unspoken ambitions for our children. Nothing wrong with any of them. But of course, when we look at the Bible, God has a priority above and beyond those things, doesn't he? He wants our children to know the most important thing of all, to know his son, Jesus Christ, as Saviour and Lord, that they might live their lives within the kingdom of grace. That's what God wants. And if that's what he wants, that should be our heart's desire as well, shouldn't it? And if it is, that will affect everything we do as parents. Well, what does the Bible say parents are to do for their children? We're going to see five things. Some points are longer than others. We're going to start with an easy one. The first is this: parents should provide for their children. Parents should provide for their children. And we see that referred to in 2 Corinthians 12:14. Paul's actually speaking here on a different topic. He's talking about his own ministry, but he illustrates that, making this point. He says, after all, children should not have to save up for their parents, but parents for their children. And most Bible experts agree that by that he means parents should provide for their children. So if you have children, that is part of your responsibility for them under God. To provide for them. Of course, as they grow older towards independence, that changes, doesn't it? That's part of the change. But until then, parents are called to provide for their children's material needs. And can I suggest that can make a great difference to us, if particularly if we're finding our work, our paid employment, frustrating at the moment or tedious. Let's just remember, part of the reason we're working is to be able to provide for our family, to provide for our children. And if our work is a drudgery at the moment, I suggest that really elevates what we do, doesn't it, to know that we're doing that. So we're to provide for our children. That's a kind of quick and easy one, if you like. Now we've got the big and tricky one. This is our big main point. Parents should instruct their children. Parents should instruct their children. This is the biggest theme in the Bible on this. And the biggest responsibility given to parents, this is Ephesians 6:4, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. I'm coming back to the father focus in a while, but it's worth picking up on this instruction. It's only one verse in Ephesians, but in a way that's very striking. In this part of his letter, Paul is giving instructions to every member of what was the ancient household, husbands, wives, slaves, masters, children, and now parents. So it's worth taking note of what he thinks is the most important thing, the one thing that he focuses on. And it's to teach them, to instruct our children in the Lord. In other words, to teach them what it means to live in the kingdom of grace, to teach them the gospel, in other words. There's the warning against exasperating them, but then the positive instruction to bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. We're to instruct our children. Now, it's worth thinking hard about this, because in our culture, education has been kind of franchised out, hasn't it? When we talk about education, we think about school. But we forget that actually it's we parents who have the greatest influence upon our children and how they see the world and how they live in the world, whether we want to or not. That just happens, doesn't it? I guess all of us have been brought up short when we see patterns in our own thinking and behaviour that come straight from our parents. You know, when you're a teenager, you definitely thought, I'm definitely not going to be like my parents. I'm just going to be me, my own person. And then what, 20 years later, you're just spouting all the opinions of your dad or your mum, aren't you? Whether we like it or not, whether we intend to or not, we are the major influence that shape our children and their view of life. And therefore, given that's going to happen anyway, God calls us to be deliberate about what we're doing, to make sure that we are teaching them about the things that matter most, teaching them about their Creator God and His Son, Jesus Christ, and the reality of our sin, salvation through His death and resurrection, what it means to live with God as our Heavenly Father, to trust Him in all circumstances, to know that one day we'll face Him when He returns. We need to instruct our children in the most important things. And why? I've got a couple of reasons. Why? First, because they won't learn it by themselves. They won't learn these things about God by themselves. Our children are like us. They need to be taught the truth. The Bible says we can't understand the truth about God by ourselves, and therefore neither can our children. More and more today, I kind of hear people saying that that children are naturally spiritual, and therefore we just need to kind of give them space so that they can explore their natural spirituality and they'll kind of figure it out. And I suppose that sounds kind of nice, but it's not right. It's not true. We're forgetting the lessons that we learned from Genesis 3. We are not naturally spiritual. We are naturally sinful. Left to our own devices, we don't go to God, we push Him away. They're just like you and me. Our children need to be instructed. And parents, it is primarily our role. We need to do it. They won't do it for themselves. Also, secondly, school won't do it. School won't do it. Schools are not run to teach our children about the Lord. In fact, they may teach them things which are actually contrary to Scripture, and we'll have to teach them sort of discernment to know when that's happening. Now, you might be thinking, well, I know the answer. I've got the perfect answer. A Christian school. That's what we need, church school. But can I say we can't rely on church schools to teach our children the ways of God? For one thing, sometimes the kind of church part doesn't really get much beyond the sign at the gate, and there's not really much behind it. But actually, even in the best of them, and there are some pretty good ones in this area, praise God, they are not in the business of Christian education. They are in the business of secular education with some Christian convictions and some bits around the edge, and then probably some better assemblies. In reality, that's what they're doing. But they are not going to teach our children how to live as disciples in the 21st century. They won't demonstrate what it means to live in a kingdom of grace. That's our role as parents. So someone I know put it like this: don't let school get in the way of your children's education. Okay? Don't let school get in the way of your children's education, this vital role. You see, school won't do the job. School can't do the job, because just think about it. The thing about the Christian life is it's not just one bit of life, is it? It's the whole of life. And therefore, instructing our children won't just happen at set times. Not even, can I say, on Sunday morning. So we mustn't get into that mindset where we think, well, that's Sunday club. That's what they do. It's happening over there at the moment. That's where my children learn about God. No, we praise God for Sunday club and our leaders who faithfully teach them the Bible, but it's a very short time each week. No, can I encourage us to think of ourselves as partners together? Our Sunday Club leaders are partners with us in our primary role of bringing our children up to know the Lord. Because it's a whole of life thing, isn't it? And because it's a whole of life thing, teaching them will be happening at all times. It's a mixture of the formal and the informal. I think that's why that's captured really well in that Deuteronomy 6 passage we had read just now. So Moses here, he's just read God's law to his people. They're about to enter the promised land. And he reminds them that God gave them his commands so that by obeying them, they would enjoy long life, things would go well with them. And then he sums up what lies at the heart of the commands. So he says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children." Now notice this. "Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up." These things are to be happening sort of all the time. It's just part of life. It's a very striking description of religious instruction, isn't it? Not just an hour in church, not just Sunday club, good though that is, not even just Bible notes at bedtime, helpful though they are. Teaching our children to trust and obey the Lord should be going on kind of the whole time. Now, some of you might be thinking this. Some of you might be thinking, "But I'm nervous. I don't want to force it down their throats." To which I would say, please don't do that. Please don't do that. But it's a bit like food, isn't it? And presumably, you don't force food down their throats. But you know that you need to feed them. And therefore, what do? You serve it up nicely. And you try to make eating an enjoyable experience. And you show that you enjoy eating too. You do it with them. Well, doesn't the same go for teaching our children? Force it down their throats. Make it enjoyable. Let's do it together. Now, it might be that some of our parents were overbearing, overstrict, and there wasn't much sense of grace going on. But can I say, beware the danger of overreacting to that so that we actually hold back from instructing our children at all. No, let's rather do what we can to make it a wonderful thing, a positive experience. One of the most helpful books that I've come across on the topic of raising children as Christians has the title Everyday Talk, Everyday Talk. And it focuses on that very point, just bringing God into everyday conversations and situations so that they learn to see things God's way. So you're out with them and you're enjoying a beautiful place or a wonderful experience. So isn't our Father God generous in the things that he shares with us? Or something goes wrong. Oh, let's pray about that. You know, even if it seems childish and trivial to us, if they're worried about it, that's a good thing to do. Let's be teaching them not to worry, but to pray. I remember once talking to a mother who told me that she'd been, that week, she'd been praying with her three-year-old who was desperately upset because the cat had gone missing. And she'd been wondering, well, should I really do this? And what happens if I pray and the cat doesn't come back? But anyway, she went ahead, and wonderfully, in God's kindness, they barely said amen, and suddenly the cat's there. Again, it's very gracious. Now, the thing is that seems like a bit of a daft experience to the parent, maybe, but it's a huge thing to the child. What a wonderful lesson learnt. Our children fall out with one another, or a friend at school. Let's talk about, what does the Bible say about that? What does it say about forgiveness, because God forgave us? What does it say about loving our enemies, as Jesus did, and the importance of saying sorry, acknowledging that we do wrong? They're great lessons to be learning just every day. So parents are to instruct their children. I'm sure it's to be a task that is carried out by both parents, but it is striking here, isn't it, that Paul addresses fathers. He could have used the word parents, but he doesn't. He says fathers. Now, again, I think the reason he does that, it goes back to what we were seeing in Genesis, that in marriage, God does give a headship role to the husband. So the husband and wife, they're to complement each other. They're a team. They're to work together with their complementary gifts. But he has responsibility for his marriage, for his family. And therefore, we fathers should be taking a lead in this most important role of parenting. I say that because I think the pattern is very often actually the opposite. That so often it's mums who are getting the children to church, who are reading the Bible with them, who are praying with them. And can I say, praise God that they do. And of course, some have husbands who aren't believers, so they have to, they have no choice. And can I say, as a church family, we need to make sure that we really support them in that role. But if we are Christian fathers, well, then we should be taking an active interest in our children's Christian education, at least knowing what's going on and encouraging our wives, talking to them about what we're doing. Now, it might be some of us feel, well, we may be willing, but we've got no clue what we're doing. And so can I encourage us to talk about it? Maybe come and join us at that evening. Come and speak to me. Let's work together, helping one another in this important task. Okay, so that's the big one. Parents are to instruct their children. Okay, much briefer now. Third, parents are to discipline their children. Parents are to discipline their children. This goes back to the same verse in Ephesians 6, when Paul says we're to bring children up in the training and instruction of the Lord. The word for training is the word for discipline. Now, again, this is quite a common Bible theme. Perhaps some of the Proverbs will come to our minds of the kind of spare the rod, spoil the child variety. Those tend to raise a few hackles, in my experience. But I think the most helpful reminders of the importance of discipline come when we're reminded that that's what the Lord does with us. So this is Hebrews 12. The writer here is making the link between God's discipline and ours. The writer says, "My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. Moreover, we all had human fathers who disciplined us. We respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Our fathers disciplined us for a little while, as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who've been trained by it." I suggest there's lots of wisdom. There are many guidelines there, aren't there, for discipline. First, we should see discipline should be born out of love. That's the motive for discipline. We love our children. It's because we love our children that we make them face some unpleasant consequences when they're disobedient, when they're unkind, when they're selfish, defiant. It's also a helpful passage because it reminds us that the goal of discipline is our good. And I trust that the reason we discipline our children is in order to teach them to obey us as God calls them to, and to behave as he expects them to. Now, I don't particularly want to get into a debate about what discipline we use, but what I want to say is, however we do it, no discipline is not an option. And I suggest it would be good for mums and dads to talk together. What is your current kind of discipline arrangement? Do you know what you're doing? I assume it'll vary according to the child, and it'll alter with age. How you discipline a four-year-old will be very different to what you do with a 14-year-old. I take it, too, that those who use smacking do so appropriately, not in cruelty, out of anger, or retaliation. It has to be said, I think, in this whole area, the biggest challenge when it comes to discipline is us, isn't it? Our own hearts. We need to pray that our discipline would be like God's, not out of anger, but showing patience and gentleness and self-control. Well, that links to the fourth point. Point four, parents are not to exasperate their children. We're not to exasperate our children. Again, we're picking up the warning from that verse. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. So Paul here, he seems to be drawing a contrast, doesn't he, between this kind of exasperating action and then instructing them on the other hand. And it suggests there's a kind of parenting that actually provokes a wrong response in them. There's another Bible version which says here, do not provoke your children to anger. And so it's worth asking, isn't it? What are the things that we sometimes do that perhaps make our children needlessly angry? There was a survey done by Care for the Family a few years ago, which mentioned three things that exasperated older children. Broken promises, not giving enough time to them, and perceived favoritism being given to other children. I wonder, are we guilty of any of those perhaps? Something to deal with. And again, usually it's our selfishness, it's the problem, isn't it? You know, why is it that my discipline is sometimes over harsh? Well, generally it's not what they're doing, it's because I'm not getting my own way. Because maybe I know I'm wrong and my pride is wounded, or because I want an easy life and I just want the kids out of my hair. Or I wonder sometimes if our children get exasperated because actually what we do is we get really strict on the things which don't matter so much. Tidiness of bedrooms and what they eat and how they eat. And we're really harsh on that stuff. Or when they're just being children, they're getting a bit giddy and noisy. And not on the things which matter most. Let's make sure that what matters most to us in how they behave is actually the things that matter most to God. So we've learned that parents should provide, instruct, discipline, and not exasperate. And finally, parents are to let go of their children. Let go of their children. I'm not saying that we stop loving them. I'm not saying that we don't stay involved in their lives. It's just a reminder that the aim of parenting is to prepare our children for adulthood, for life when they're not with us. And we do need to keep that in mind, don't we? Beware of just keeping holding on to childhood as this thing that's the whole point of being a parent. No, we're preparing them for life ahead. And that, of course, is the aim of all the instruction and the discipline, that they might be ready for life as adults, and that by God's grace, they may go into that with him. I think one of the most helpful things that was ever said to me on parenting was to remember that our children don't belong to us. They're entrusted to us. And that's terribly important to remember that, isn't it? They don't belong to us. They are entrusted to us. God has given us the immense privilege of looking after and providing for these precious children made in his image. And our responsibility is to bring them up that by his grace they might know him and know what it means to live within his kingdom of grace. Well, let's pray that he'd help us to do that. We'll pray. Father, again, we are so conscious of where we have fallen short, mistakes we've made. And therefore, we thank you again that we have been brought into your kingdom, that we stand in grace through Jesus. And we thank you too that we have the help of your Holy Spirit, who brings change and brings life. We ask that he would help us to change where we need to, and to help us to be like you, to be a model to our children of how you care for us, how you provide for us, how you lead us, and how gracious you are to us. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.